Blog Talk Radio.
Outside of that, I have my own publishing company, Six Hearts Publishing,
And the only reason why I got to do that was because when I did my second book, Forever Young, etc. Plus, my son had an assignment from the University of Nova to do some textbooks, and he couldn't do it. He has a publishing company. So he says, Mom, call this person, just call that person, try to get somebody else, but I cannot do it. I said, no problem. I'll figure it out. Well, I formed my own company, and since then, I have not looked back. So it's not just for me, but for other people, new authors, aspiring authors who are writing and have no idea where to go and how to write, I can pretty much take their work from beginning through publication until the book is in print.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You know, there are so many successes that comes out of our adversity. And this is why people need to know where they want to go. And therefore, when you know where you want to go and what you want to do, when little hindrances come before you, instead of throwing in the towel, you press in deeper. And that's where you have been, and you are here as the author of three books telling us we can do it, because if you do it, so can we. We just need to believe in what we're doing and where we want to go.
That's true. Well said, Dr. Hudson, because that's exactly what I believe. I don't focus on problems. I'm solutions-driven.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And now I know why our spirit is so intertwined, because you are singing my song, I'm singing your song, and together we are doing a magnificent duet. And nobody's going to be able to stop that. Sam, the recession won't last, but salvation will. Because there are so many people who for the past 3 years have been caught up on that R word, recession.
Yes.
How did you choose this title, and why this title at this time?
Well, honestly, after writing Forever Young and 50 Plus, I had, if you look in the back of that book, there are like four titles that I was, upcoming titles, and the recession won't last, but salvation was not one of them. So I remember, like months after the book was published, my third book, my son, who is a professor, called, and he says, Mom, you're traveling a lot here between Jamaica to New York, you're on the plane a lot. Why didn't you write a book about the recession? So I said, that's not one of the books I have in mind. I'm not interested in that. He says, Mom, you don't understand. This is what I do for a living. I'm telling you, there's a market for that. So I said, I have to be motivated to write. I can't just get up and write because it makes sense. It's the right time for the what's going on in the economy. So anyway, I dismissed it. But like 2 weeks after that, I was on a trip to New York. And after I'm in the plane and I'm sitting down and something is saying in my mind, why didn't you pick up the pen and start writing the recession? I'm saying, that kind of turned it out. You know, when you're tuning out something that's really empowering and something that's just hammering in your head to say, do this, and I'm saying, no. It was so strong, I couldn't help it. So I said, you know what? I don't know even what I'm doing, but let me listen to this voice and start writing. Well, I did two chapters on my way to New York, and then I put the book down, and I went to Jamaica in November, and within 1 week, the book was finished, in less than a week. So I was totally inspired by the Lord to do this book, and even when I go back and read the book now, it's like, did I write this? Did I get some help to write this book? But, you know, when you make yourself available to the Holy Spirit, a lot of great things happen, and it just happened. And I'm telling you, I really don't even take credit for it, but all the scriptures that I was taught from when I was a child kept coming to my mind, because it's filled with scriptures and promises of God. And all I did, you know, later on, I'd write it down, and then when I was ready to put it together, I just Googled it to find the scripture verses, but I knew them in my heart. And that's why when God says, hide his word in your heart, that you might not sin against him, that's what happens to us when we're raised in Christian homes. We might not have money, we might not have fame, but we have the word of God tucked up in there. And when we need when crisis comes, we can pull it out and use it. And that's what happened with this book.
Exactly. And the other thing is that all we need to do is to be obedient, because once we are obedient, and we follow through, he supplies. Because we just need to turn up as an empty vessel and allow him to fill. When, as he fills us, then the manifestation comes. And that's what is happening to you now, because as the manifestation pour on those pages, you didn't even know what was coming until you yourself go back to read it. You say, oh, my heaven,
thank
this
you.
Is what came through me. this is what came through me. And
yes.
What an amazing place to be in.
Yes.
Because if you were writing that book, you would be writing manuscripts and crumpling paper and tossing it in the trash and crumpling and tossing and crumpling
right.
and tossing. But when you submit yourself under the direction of the Holy Spirit, you
yes.
don't have to crumple anything.
I didn't crumple
you just
it with this book. Yeah, it all flowed. It was totally like under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and it's like, it's just an experience that I can hardly explain it, but all I know
yes.
that today when I go out to the churches and I speak about, you know, this book, you know, give a summary of what the book is all about and behind, what's behind the book. It's really the Lord. It's not even about me and what I can do. It's about lifting
mm-hmm.
up the Lord and saying, listen, you might have lost your job. Over 15 million
yes.
Americans have lost their jobs. Millions and millions
yes.
have lost their homes, relationships,
yes.
divorces on the high. Stress is
mm-hmm.
killing a lot of people. And all of that is negative news, Daphne. All of that stuff that I just said is negative news. But the whole idea
mm-hmm.
between the recession won't last, but salvation will, is saying, well, God promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. He promised
right.
that no weapons formed against us can prosper. He promised that,
right.
you know, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen his seed forsaken, you know, the righteous forsaken
right.
or his seed begging bread. So it's just
that's
packed
right.
with promises of the Lord. He said, Lord, I've lost my job, but you are recession-proof. Lord, I'm going through the fire, but you're fireproof. What, look what you did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that story is also in the book. That was one.
That's
the main person I heard when you went to church. So, really great story.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So,
continue.
Yes.
No,
basically,
go ahead, yes.
Yeah, basically the story is about a couple who, you know, they're Christians and they have two kids and they're, you know, upper class and has a great job with this company. He was in that position as vice president of this company for 25 years, but he really ran the company. Like, what really happens in the real corporate world, and other CEOs have no clue what they're doing, and the vice
yes.
president or somebody else runs the company. So that was the case with him. So the
mm-hmm.
the CEO would always rely on him to do the big things, just make decisions, and he would carry them out. So mandatory email was sent out to everyone saying that there's a meeting like the following morning and everyone needed to show up. Well, Mr. Sinclair,
mm-hmm.
who is the CEO, called Ray Gordon's office and told him that, listen, I'm really busy tomorrow morning. I'm just going to introduce you to the group, and then you're going to carry through. He had to fire 145 people. And
mm.
he left all of that to him. So he was stressing really bad, and he went home, and, you know, everybody knew that something was wrong. So his wife said, what was going on? And he says, listen, you have no idea what's going on in the office. I have to fire 145 people. It's weighing heavy on my heart. All these single mothers who rely on this, they don't have a double income. I didn't know how they're going
mm.
to survive, and this is really bothering me. So she, but
mm-hmm.
his wife, Virginia, said, so it's all lower-grade employees that will be laid off. He says, no, actually, Mr. Sinclair is going to lay off five of the upper grade employees. And she says, and you're not concerned? And he says, no, you don't understand. I run the company. She says, I don't care if you run the company, but honestly, you earn just right below the CEO, and I would be very concerned, because what you get paid, five of the lower grades don't even make that. And he says,
mm-hmm.
don't worry, I'm not concerned. And, you know, it went on and on until he did the firing the following morning. And he was so distraught, he locked his door, went into his office, closed the door, and cried because he was so saddened by what had happened. And he had to be the one to carry out this, even though he was not the CEO. Well, later on that day, Mr. Sinclair called him, which everything was very unlike how Mr. Sinclair treated the relationship that they had established over the years. It was very cold and just, you know, okay. And when he called him up, he's like, listen, we got a part company. Here's your severance package. And whatever he was giving to the people was the same thing that was given
mm-hmm.
to him. You know, so the moral of the story is like, in life, you just never know. You might be up today in a big position, in a big job, in a big house, and tomorrow you might be down. But my thing is, Paul says that whatever state you find yourself, learn how to be content. And
right.
the rest of the story, you've got to get the book. Check it out on Amazon.com. The recession won't last, but salvation will. But basically
mm-hmm.
the story saying, you need to put your trust in God and not put your trust in the system, because this system will fail us. There's no job to go to that thing.
And not in religion either, because a lot of people get hooked on religion.
Correct.
And still not focus on the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because religion can't do it. Because
no,
whether you go to, whether you ever set foot into a church again, when you know that you are the church, and
yes,
wherever you go, you are who people are seeing. You are who people are learning from. You
yes,
understand the difference between spirituality, religion, and the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is all is powerful, because a lot of what I have found out is that people who get hooked on religion still out there ripping their ears out, just like the people who don't know the Lord.
Yes,
and
true.
You have to take, yes, you have to take a step back and know to whom we owe all of this greatness that we are experiencing. Because
yes,
certainly not the religion or the label that we go under.
That's
I know you're not. I know you're not in your office, but I don't know if you have a copy of the book you want to read, maybe a paragraph or anything. Do you have it with you?
No, I don't have it with me.
Okay.
I apologize.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah,
but
no,
like
because
I
know you're not in your office, because we spoke earlier on this morning. I know you weren't. You weren't there. So, is there anything else you want to tell the readers? Why do they need to really pick this book up?
Well, you really need to pick this book up because either you have gone through some changes over the past 2 years during this recessionary period, for 2 to 3 years, or you know someone who has. And this book will give you so much encouragement. It will replace your fear with faith and your despair with hope. Because let me tell you something, if you don't have hope in God in this in these times, you could end up you know where. And this is what you don't want, because I believe, honestly, it's a trick of the enemy. And we have to go back to basics and say, God, I am asking you to deliver me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. So I'm just encouraging you, go check it out on Amazon.com and pick up a copy of the book. And let me get your feedback. All my information, you can reach me through my email. My website is ninahart.org. So God bless
mm-hmm.
you all. Thank you, Dr. Hudson. You're doing a great job for the Lord.
Thank you very much. And I will speak with you later on today, because there's something I need to tell you. So
okay.
I will speak with you. Continue doing God's work, and
thank
it
you.
Is such a pleasure for you to the way you are investing in everyone. So thank you again for joining us. I know you had an emergency and you're rushing off, but we look forward to having you on the show again.
I appreciate
so,
it, and God bless you. I thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, God bless you. Yes, you were just listening to a short dialogue with the author of Recession Won't Last, But Salvation Will. And that is her third book. That is Miss Nina Hart from Six Hart Publishing in Florida. And she also has a book, Forever Young at 60. And what an amazing conversation to know that in spite of everything else that is happening around us, when that is not going to last, our salvation will. And a lot of people say, oh, you know, your show is a Christian show. And I do not label it as a Christian show. The one thing I know that my listeners get is that they get the empowerment, because whether or not you ever set foot into another church in your life, you should be empowered enough to manifest all of the greatness that God has blessed you with. So, again, you just listened to Nina Hart, who is the author of The Recession Won't Last, But Salvation Will. And that is her newest book, one of three, and she said you can pick it up on Amazon. So I want you to check out Amazon for the book, Salvation Won't, The Recession Won't Last, But Salvation Will. And I am waiting on my other guests to call in. My other guest is copyright attorney Arielle Mitchell Durant, and she's going to be calling in momentarily. And then my other guest later on will be Mr. Ricky Johnson, and he is a marketing expert, and he is going to speak to us about how to run a marketing budget on a limited amount of budget, and he is just so brilliant, as Simon T. Bailey said, release your brilliance. And Ricky is very brilliant in the marketing area, and he is going to tell us how we too can harness that which we are supposed to do, and to get all that belongs to us. So again, the number to call in is 646-915-8166. That's the number you can call in. And I am waiting to have Arielle, Miss Computer Lady. It's a pleasure to see you, my sister. I wish I was. It's not Miss Computer Lady. It's the web computer and web guy from Arizona. Welcome to you, my brother. It's a couple of weeks I have not seen you, and I am. This is one of the days when I'm wishing I was out there in Arizona, because my computer has been giving me some challenges, and I wish I was near you. So now I'm waiting. As a matter of fact, I'm computer guy. My next two guests, I know you're out there in Arizona, and my next two guests will be from Arizona. One is a copyright law attorney, and the other one is a marketing guru. So it's a good show to be on today, because we are family, and there are people from your neck of the woods. So I am here waiting on them to call in. So, Mr. Computer Web Guy, if you have any special offer that you're doing and for entrepreneurs, if you want to call in while I am waiting on Arielle to call in, you can go ahead and call in. I'll give you a little perks in that we have this downtime that we are waiting on them. And the number you can call is 646-915-8166. And if you just want to call and say where your company is and all of that, because you're a frequent listener to the show, and while we have some downtime waiting on the other guests to call in, I could also give you some perks. So call in if you want to say something about your company, my brother. Call in and take this time to promote your business as a returning listener. That's what I wanted for you this morning. So I hope you're on and that you are hearing me. So yes, you are listening to the A New Day Show, where we strive to inform you, educate you, and keep you extremely empowered, because we know that without your empowerment, you are not able to do anything. So we want to support you in every way that we can, with everything that we have, and to help you to understand that no adversity that you may encounter should prevent you from living your dreams. You heard Nina spoke about what it took for her started her company. I want to read a letter from Living Your Dream by Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen, and it's Changing the World One Story at a Time. And this letter, I think, came from one of their readers, and it reads, "Dear Jack and Mark, one morning this summer, I woke up to find half of my face paralyzed. Aside from my eyes being dry the night before, I had been perfectly fine when I had gone to bed. I have never been so terrified. The only thing I could think of was a brain tumor. I rushed out of my room that morning, searching desperately for my mom. My fear deepened when I found the garage empty. I went back to my room and got back in bed, sobbing and feeling incredibly helpless and alone. Images of me without hair, laying in a hospital bed, flashed through my head. When Mom returned home, she called the doctor at once. We flew to the doctor's office where he diagnosed me with Bell's palsy. He assured me that the condition was probably completely benign, but then he explained the potential consequences. He also informed me that the normal duration of Bell's palsy is around 3 months, although the shortest case was 3 weeks. And many cases lasted 6 months or longer. Feeling much better after learning the condition was probably benign and had been assigned a name, I became determined to have the shortest case of Bell's palsy in history. I was sure that it would only take me a week or two to get rid of the virus. My positive attitude faded after 3 weeks when I would no longer be the shortest case in history. I became extremely depressed after 4 weeks. Half of my face was paralyzed. I had made no progress whatsoever. I felt like I should have joined the circus and toured with the bearded lady and the elephant man. It was difficult to go out with my friends and to go out in public because people stared. I want to welcome guest 6422, and our distinguished honored guest has called in, so let me good morning, guest. You're on the air. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Is it me?
Good morning. I can hardly hear you. You're on the air. Is this the computer guy?
This is the computer guy. Do I need to turn my
mic
up?
Yes, good morning. And thank you for calling in. We are waiting on my other guest to call in. And because you are a return listener who supports this show, I decided I would have you call in and just say a little, say something about your business and what you do for entrepreneurs.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate that. I'm out here in Ohio. I'm not
You're in Ohio. I don't know why I was saying Arizona.
Yeah, I'm in Ohio. I'm in northeastern Ohio, in a little town called Youngstown, Ohio. And,
okay.
And what we do here is IT work. We do consulting. We install networks. We also repair computers here. And we also sell new and used computers in this area and to our customers. And so we do quite a few things. We also do one other thing we do is we design a lot of websites for clients in this area. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
And how long have you been in business?
Well, Ambassador Technologies started in 1999. Four guys, we all attended the same church, and we all had a love for computers, and so we decided to see if we can go in business together, and that's how we got started. One of our biggest clients is a charter school here in this area, and we had over 500 computers that we serviced on a day-to-day basis.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So what encouragement do you have for entrepreneurs? Because, you know, people are saying, for example, I don't know if you were listening with the first guest that came on. She wrote a book, Nina Hart is her name. She wrote a book that recession won't last, but salvation will.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure where you are standing spiritually.
Okay.
But what encouragement do you have for entrepreneurs as someone who have been going at it for a while? And it sounded as if you reinvented the way you are doing business.
Yes,
guys, you're partner with somebody else. What encouragement do you have for those who are gripping out the ear?
I encourage those who have a mindset, if you have a desire to go in business, to do so. If you can find some good partners or people to partner with you, I encourage anyone to go out in business. What you need to do is to really evaluate who you are, what it is you're going to do in business, and have a marketing plan before you go in. Know where you're going and know how much money you need to have to get your business up and running. It's a lot of work. You put in a lot of time. If anyone thinks you go in business and you're going to make money the first day, maybe you should get into business. But you have to plan for 2-3 years, maybe longer, before you actually begin to start seeing, making some money. But I enjoy the challenge. I like what I do. And I think that means a lot to enjoying what you do, working with computers and different things like that. And I think that'll take you a long way. Spiritually, I'm a Christian here in this area, and go to a very good church. I have a teaching pastor. And that plays a big part, too. Your spirituality plays a big part, too. Because I think without me preaching to my customers, they sense that the service and how we treat them, I think that they appreciate that. And that comes from what I believe and the way we run our businesses.
Mm-hmm. What made you go into business for yourself? What was happening when you say to yourself, I must get into business for myself?
One of the things is, with our friend, my buddies, when they, we all went to the same church, and everybody, at that time, a lot of people were getting computers, and they were having problems with computers, as everyone will sooner or later. And we found ourselves helping our friends fix their computers one way or another. And so we got pretty good at it, and we kind of looked at ourselves and wondered if we could make a living at doing that.
And right.
That was one reason, because just out of demand, we got a lot of practice at it, and we were able to help other folks. And they would just call us up, hey, I got a problem with my computer. Can you fix that? And then we would go ahead and fix it. So because of our love and you know, we spent a lot of time working on the computer, we were able to help other folks, other people with their computer needs. The other thing is, it just was a, for me, it was always a desire to be in business. Even when I worked for another company, I always thought I can do it as good as someone else. I guess it's just something in me. I wanted to be in control. So it was something I always wanted to do and give a shot.
It's amazing, you know, if you listen to each entrepreneur and how they start out. And I think that's one of the best ways. When you have a passion for what you're doing, and if you sit back and take the time to analyze what's going on, you realize how connected that is to your calling. Because too many people are getting into businesses that they think they can make a lot of money. And they're not looking at the long hours that they have to put in. And this is why a lot of people throw in the towel a little earlier. Because they go in there thinking that, all right, in 2 months I'm going to make $1 million. And they want to work less than they normally work on their job. And they still want to make more money than they made on the job. And they have to know that when you're in business for yourself, you are going to be putting in a lot more, at least you ought to be putting in a lot more time than you were putting in on the 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Because especially when we just started out, you are the custodian, you are the receptionist, you are the office manager, you are the customer service, you are everything.
Yeah. You're exactly right. You're the salesman.
Yeah, you know.
And a lot of times when you say you have a business, you know, the person they want to see is you. So you're juggling all these different hats. You know, 1 minute you're opening the door, the next minute you're checking over your account to see what's going on there. You're balancing a budget to see if you're making more money than you're spending out. And then customer calls, and more times than not, they want to see you. So now you got to present yourself to your client or clients. And I've seen this happen more times than not. Within the first minute, you can win or lose a client.
And just the way
you speak and you present yourself, if they have a problem, it's the way you explain that problem to them. And within that first minute, you can win or lose that client. And that's one of the things we specialize in service in. When a client comes, we listen to their problem. We identify with it like it's our own. And it's surprising how comforting that is to a client. And so there's so many hats that you need to wear to get your business off the ground. And you're so right. You put in a lot of time, and a lot of times you don't make the money that you need. You're wondering, there's many a night I've got up and had to pray because I'm wondering, am I in the right business? Should I be here? And then what happens? God will do something to confirm, just continue on. Even though you don't see the results, you just continue on, and then the results will come. So we are growing here. We needed a storefront, and before we were virtual, we would do stuff from home and we didn't have an official office. Now we have a storefront, and people can find us. They bring in computers. We've made quite a few friends, and our next step is to go out and get some contracts. You know, schools or companies, business or whatever, that we take care of their network. And that's the contract is going to be the thing that's sustaining when we get that constant flow, that cash flow in. And what comes through the door is the icing on the cake.
Yeah. That is so wonderful, because you know, when you just start out in business, people are not just running to you to do business with. Even people who, sometimes for those of us who transition from one company into our own business, people are not breaking their necks to come and do business with us, because they are thinking, let's see how long he or she's going to be in business before I give them my support.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that as I was speaking with another entrepreneur, and we're talking about people are not giving you business until they trust you and they like you. Those two things are going to come, and then they look and say, well, let me see how what it is that they are giving is going to benefit my business. Do you think that is so in your too? People have to trust and love you?
You've nailed it. And again, I found that we're talking about customers, and then we're talking about customers that are going to do business with you, companies. There's been several times where I've went to a prospective client, someone I wanted to do business with, and they would not give me the business right then and there. But yet, by approaching them, I would say 2 months, 3 months, maybe 4 months later, I get a phone call. We need you to be here. And because of my presentation, and then the fact that I had some longevity, now I have a storefront, people view you as a legitimate business, and they take a chance. And that's all you want to do. And then the thing that you need to do then, as soon as they give you a chance, you need to nail it. You
mm-hmm.
need to really nail it once they give you that chance. And what they do, not only will they come back to you, they will tell someone else.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be your best salesman, your best marketer. They'll tell other people, there's this guy up here on so-and-so. He did this for me. He did an excellent job. And you're doing that thing.
Wonderful. I want you to, I'm still waiting on other guests to call in, but I thank you for fitting in and just getting time to get into conversation. I want you to tell people, if you have a website, give them your website, whichever way they can contact you, and tell them where you are again in Youngstown, Ohio. I don't know why I always put you out in Arizona. Maybe I'm prophesying something. Maybe you move into Arizona.
Maybe, huh? I don't know. Yeah, we're in northeastern Ohio, a town called Youngstown, and our website is ambassatech.com. That's
Please type. I know you're in the chat room, so type it in the chat room as well, please.
Okay.
So that people who come on later will get to see. So go ahead and type it in the chat room. And I want to also remind you to mark my show favorites and follow me on Twitter and on Facebook and everything, and let us keep networking and adding value to what each other are doing, because with this virtual community, we really don't need to be next door to each other to support each other. We have to do whatever we can to support and help each other.
Right. Well, I appreciate that. And you're right. With technology and some of the things that we can do business around the world, actually. I mean, if someone came to me and said they needed 30 computers, we can supply that. We can order those, have them shipped, and have them there within a reasonable time. So if they need something fixed, they can ship it in. We can get it fixed and get it back to that individual. We're very proud of the work that we do here. I have a technician, and we're quick to tell you, no, we can't fix that. It's not worthwhile fixing. So everything that comes in here, we don't try to make money in it. We try to treat our customer as fairly as possible. And that seems to work for us. At least we feel better. We sleep better because of the way we do our business. So. But, yeah, what we do here, website design, you don't have to be in this area. All we need is the information. You can go to our website and see some of the sites that we have designed, and you can determine for yourself if you like the way we design websites. So, with technology today, we can do business anywhere, anywhere.
Wonderful, wonderful. And excuse me, I'm sure that you will enjoy the other two guests that we are going to have come on. Yeah, thank you for putting that in the chat room. I want to welcome guest 67, 86. And if you have a question for the computer and web guy, you can go ahead, either call in to ask the question, or you can type it in the chat room. You can ask any question you want to ask if you have any issues or question about computers. He's located in Ohio. And he was not an official guest, but I tell you, this is what relationships is all about. Acknowledging an opportunity and stepping up to it, because my first guest who I was supposed to have on for an hour, she had some emergency and she could only stay on her time. So, Mr. Computer Guy, I am so thankful that you came on this morning and that you had an opportunity to speak about what you do. And I just know that you will be getting some value from my other two guests. So again, my brother, I thank you for picking up this slot and supporting me this morning.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm always glad to, if it's a certain time, you get busy, but I got the email reminder this morning. I seen that, said, well, I'm going to tune in, and so I'm glad.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So thank you. Have a blessed day. My second honored guest has called in. And I know you will be able to get some great nuggets from her. So stick around, my brother.
I'll be listening.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Attorney Durant, good morning. Mitchell Durant, good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Daphne. How are you?
I am wonderful.
That's
you
awesome.
Know, I forget you are not living in the East Coast. I called you in the wee hours this morning because my first guest had an emergency and she could only stay on for 30 minutes. So I said, I'm going to give Attorney Mitchell Durant the other time. But that's all right. I'm glad you're calling him because one of my regular listeners of the show, who is from Youngstown, Ohio, he was on, so I just gave him that time to talk about what he's doing for entrepreneurs. Isn't it amazing when we can support each other in whatever field we're in? So
absolutely.
I want to thank you for waking up, and I want to thank your family for giving you this time so early in the morning to spend with us.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity.
Yes. So would you please just introduce yourself to the listeners?
Okay. I'm Aurelia Mitchell Durant. I'm an attorney, and I've been practicing for a little bit over 12 years. My specialty is in brand protection, and I also do representation of nonprofit corporations. But the major crux of my profession is on brand protection, meaning trademarks and copyrights, and how you go about safeguarding your dreams while protecting your brand. And so brand protection is my focus.
Wonderful, wonderful. And let us begin this conversation and focus on the area of why did you choose law? You know, at what stage of your life you decided, I'm going to be an attorney?
Okay. Well, as a young child, I grew up in Philadelphia, in the urban areas of Philadelphia, and I was always a participant on the debate team and always liked to talk, and I thought that going to law school and becoming a lawyer would give me an opportunity to use my skills as a speaker. So I thought that was a perfect fit for me. But more importantly, growing up in an urban area, there weren't a whole heck of a lot of positive role models. So very early on, I became an avid reader. And through reading, I was able to transcend the neighborhood. I always liked to read. And when you go to law school, there's an awful lot of reading involved. And I was a history buff. And so when you go to law school, there's a lot of historical reference to why our system of laws is set up the way that it is. So that was always a fit for me. And I gravitated towards intellectual property, copyrights, and trademarks, because when I started as an attorney, I represented gospel musicians and entertainers that were associated with the church. So that out of that was born copyrights and trademarks. And also the nonprofit law came out of that association with the church. So it's an affinity for me. I always wish that I could sing. I can't sing, but I sure can represent a singer. And so that's how it came to fruition for me.
Ariel, let me ask you, what role, if any, does spirituality play in your work?
My order is God first. So it plays a primary role in my life. And what I do is I pray about every association that I have. And I believe that God sends people that you can be a blessing to and that also can be a blessing to you. So I think that blessing is two ways and it comes from God. And that is the primary focus of my life and the primary focus of my practice for sure.
You know, I ask that question because the Spirit placed it on my heart to ask. Because you know something, I say this to people all the time. They say, how do you choose the people that you connect with socially, both on Facebook and LinkedIn, and which is where I chose you from? And I tell them, I said, you know, I go on there and I read people's profiles. And I said, the Holy Spirit tell me, connect with this one and connect with that one and connect with that one. And a lot of people raise their eyebrows when I say that. Because you are so on the mark when you say that blessing comes in different ways. And the Holy Spirit directs us into the relationships that we are to be in. And so long as we are obedient, we will be winners every time.
Absolutely.
Because you need to get into relationship knowing that I can add value here instead of going and thinking what's in it for me. So I am just so honored to hear that you conduct business the same way that I conduct business, because it's not about us. It's about making a difference in people's lives. So
absolutely.
I just want to thank you. I know that there are going to be many more times when you're on this show, because today we are not even going to be able to scratch the surface of everything you do. And because of the intensity and the value of what you have to offer, I know that I will need to invite you back again and again and again and again. So today, let's focus on copyright. Would you be comfortable focusing just on that area?
Oh, absolutely.
Or you think we need to go with intellectual property first? Which you think you want to do today?
Well, I think that if we start off with just a basic overview of what intellectual property is, because it's one of those areas where a lot of people think they know, you know, and
That's
they
right.
think they can understand it. But if we just go over a little bit of an overview of what the field is and what is considered intellectual property.
Yeah, let us do that, because a lot of people don't understand. So let us just do that today.
Okay. Well, basically, I've redefined what intellectual property is, and I call it dreams on paper, okay? Mm. And that's what I call it, because if you think about what comes from praying and what comes from your mental exercise of creating a business, writing a song, you know, designing a patent, those are things that come from your dreams. And a lot of times when we create something that is original, that comes from original thought, we want to safeguard it and protect it. And so intellectual property lets us be able to protect our dreams on paper. So, and the reason why it's on paper is because it's documented. So intellectual property allows us to document what comes out of our dreams. And so the intellectual property field is divided into three different items. There's patent, there's trademark, and then there's copyright. I think the area that most people are most familiar with is copyright. And that's where if I write a song, if I write a book, if I write a blog post, if I draw a picture, I have a copyright. And a copyright means that I have the right to produce copies, and that anybody else that wants to produce a copy has to get my permission, and that's what's called a license. Okay. I think that that's what most people are familiar with. But there's also a trademark, and what a trademark is trade is another word for business. So a trademark is my mark that I use in business. Okay. So that means that if I have a mark, like let's say that I make dolls and I'm Barbie. Barbie is my trademark, because that is the mark that I use in business. Okay. And patent is on a mechanical device. If I develop, you know, some new method for mowing the lawn and I turn it into some kind of machine, that gives me something that's patentable. Okay. But the whole province is, you know, dreams on paper. It's those are things that people dream about and dream to come to fruition, because when we write a song, we want for people to hear it. And so our dream is for that song to resonate in someone else's ears. You know, when we have a business, our dream is that it succeeds. So we want people to come to recognize our mark. When we develop a device, we have a patent, and we want people to be, you know, to receive and be blessed by our particular patent. So, you know, intellectual property is what comes out of your mind and your mental discourse, and it's called property because it has value.
And we're going to come back in other episodes. We are going to speak about each of those areas, and we are going to go into more detail. But today, I thank you for giving us the overview. When you look on, when you look at entrepreneurs, why do you think that there are many of us who are not protecting our intellectual property?
Well, I think that the reason why a lot of us are not protecting it is because we're not informed. Because when you, as an entrepreneur, what we know is that you set up a corporation, and we spend our time thinking about what our corporate name is going to be, and we know to register the corporation. You know, I think by now most people know that if you set up a business, the reason why you incorporate is so that you can protect yourself from the liability from the business. So you know that there's a reason why you're setting up the corporation. But we spend time on the business name, and we think that that's the same as trademark, because I've had people that have told me that, okay, if I've registered it with my local state, then that means that it's protected. But it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that it's a trademark. It just means that that's your business name. So an example, using the Barbie doll example, Mattel is the corporation, but Barbie is the trade name.
Right.
So they're not one and the same. They're two different and distinct purposes. And I think that a lot of times we don't protect ourselves because we don't have the information that we need in order to do that.
I think a lot of us are not working with the right attorneys either, because I remember growing up in Jamaica, West Indies, when you open the door of a law office, that lawyer would deal with everything, family law, everything, real estate, everything. But
mm-hmm.
now you need to be asking the right questions in order to get the right service. You need to ask, what law do you specialize in? Because it's no longer a one stop for all. Attorneys are specializing in areas. So if you don't ask the right questions, you go in just to register your business, that's what you're getting. And they probably have their paralegal just do the paperwork to register your business. And then you find out, getting into conversation with an attorney who specializes in that, those specialities, you find out that I didn't get the right thing done.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And then the other thing is, if you go in and you get an attorney to do your incorporation, one of the things that's important to know from the attorney is, do they represent small businesses or do they represent entrepreneurs? Because there's a different flavor to an entrepreneur than, if you represent doctors, for example. Somebody that is an entrepreneur has to be innovative. So you know that if you have an entrepreneur, you can best believe that there are going to be intellectual property issues that individual
right.
needs to be advised of.
So what are some questions that in that process, when entrepreneurs are ripping their hair out and thinking about business name and all of that, during that process, what are some questions you think that we need to have on that list that when we go out to select an attorney?
Well, I would look at the relationship with the attorney as a two-way process. I think that a lot of times when we go in, we don't ask the questions that make it feel two-way, because you're interviewing the attorney just like he's interviewing you, and it has to be a fit for both of you. So one of the questions that I would ask is, have you started a business, of the attorney? Because that gives you an idea of what kind of entrepreneurial spirit that attorney has. You know, are you familiar with a business startup? You know, what experience, or, you know, how many businesses have you started up? Do you know about intellectual property law? Can you properly advise me about that? You know, I mean, even if you just ask the attorney to explain to you, you know, the difference between a state trademark and a federal trademark. And now with the internet, you want to ask, are you familiar with domain name registration? You know, because there's a lot of people that will start a business, come up with a name, go to the internet, realize that the name is not available, and are confused as to what that means. You know, are there some people that name their business based upon what domain they can get off the internet, and they think that if they own a domain name, that means that they own the trademark? Again, that's totally not true. So, you know, when you're talking to an attorney, you have to ask practical questions that relate to your business. You know, why should I be an LLC versus a regular corporation? What's the difference for me? You know, those are the kind of questions that a lot of times we don't ask. I don't know whether sometimes we get shy, but, you know, a representation by an attorney costs money. So, you know, you have to ask questions so that you can get your value out of that association. And you can't be shy about asking those. And if you don't know what a trademark is, or if you don't know what intellectual property is, find an attorney that can give you an adequate answer to those questions, you know, and
right.
any attorney that's going to represent you to incorporate your business that doesn't ask you if you have a business plan is probably doing you a disservice. Because
exactly.
anybody that goes into business needs to have a plan. There has to be some order as
that's
to
right.
what you're doing.
That's right. Because a lot of entrepreneurs are looking to cut corners and they are not getting things in the right order. And when you're three quarters the way in, you realize I should have done this, I should have done that. And we all learn. We are a work in progress. But I think we all need to do our due diligence and do the proper research and get connected with the right people that will give us the right information.
That's right.
So you don't find out that you're knee deep in and you can't pull yourself out.
That's right. And I think that, you know, when you think of knee deep, the costs are pretty severe because, for example, if you do not register a trademark for your business and you don't understand that or you think that that's not important, one of the things that could happen is that you could actually be accidentally infringing without knowing it. And accidental infringement is still infringement. So I always tell a story of a lady that set up a bakery, and she came up with a name for her bakery, and she had been in operation in her local area for about 10 years, and a major corporation found out about her business name. And although her name, the name of her bakery was Doughboy. Okay.
Doughboy.
And the corporation that had a trademark on Dough Girl thought that, her name was Dough Girl. Okay. The name of the corporation that had a trade name on Doughboy found out about her and sent her a letter and asked her to close down because they believed that there was a likelihood of confusion between Doughboy, which was their registered trademark, and her restaurant, Dough Girl, which was not registered. And
wow.
So once she got that communication, now she had to immediately get an attorney to defend her. And that's an expense that perhaps if she had registered it 10 years ago when she started the business, this would not have happened because you think about the legal expense and then you also think about the marketing expense because in this instance, she had to change her name. So now all the money that you spent for marketing and goodwill goes out the window because back at the beginning, you didn't protect yourself at the very beginning. And so that's why...
I have been told, I've gone to several conferences, workshops, and stuff like that, and I have heard that you can include your documentation in a sealed envelope, mail it to yourself if you're tight and getting money to do your trademark and all of those things. Mail it to yourself and keep it sealed with it without opening it. And if anything like what you just shared with us happens, you can produce that. How accurate is that piece of information?
It's very inaccurate because in this instance, we were talking about a trademark, okay? So in a trademark, it doesn't matter whether you mail anything to yourself to evidence the trademark. The issue is, the standard is likelihood of confusion. So whether you had the mark first or not, if you're confusing the market with another mark, you're still infringing. But I think the basic example of what we're talking about is actually on a what's called a poor man's copyright. And you put if you write a book, you put the book in an envelope and you put a stamp on it, you mail it to yourself. And then if someone infringes, you present in court this envelope that you have and it has to be sealed. And you say that on this particular date, this is when I created this particular work, and you use the postmark as your evidence that that's the date that you created the work. But the problem with that is if you go on the Internet, you can Google ways to fake a poor man's copyright. And one of the basic ways to fake it is to mail yourself an empty envelope. Okay? And then you can put whatever you want in the envelope. So I'm an attorney, and I defend infringement suits. So the basic thing I'm going to do is if you come in with your envelope, I'm going to challenge you to prove that what you put in that envelope was in the envelope on the date of the postmark.
Was there. Interesting.
Yeah, and you're not going to be able to prove that.
Isn't that something? Amazing. There is so much for us to learn, but the information is there. It's available to us so long as we decide that we want to put the time in to get that.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, the poor man's copyright, I still talk about it pretty often, but, I mean, the example that I just gave you is you know, from a legal perspective, that's the first thing that I would challenge, because all you have to do is mail an empty envelope to yourself, because the post office is going to allow you to be able to do that, you know, because think about it, I mean, you would have to, I mean, you can be as clever as you want. You can go in, you can put the book in the envelope, you can get them to weigh it, and it could be weight, whatever, and then you can go outside and take it out.
That's
and never
right.
steal the envelope. So, I mean, that is not the way to protect yourself. That is a
That's
way
right.
to incur.
People are always looking for ways to beat the system, which is not advantageous to us.
No.
Attorney Mitchell Durant, as a female attorney, are there any troubles or challenges you encounter in your business, especially when you were just beginning? I know you're in 12 years now, but as you look back at the beginning, and for that new attorney that is just coming out and said, you know, I like what Attorney Mitchell Durant says, and I want to step out and do my own. Were there any struggles you encounter, and how would you direct that young attorney, male or female, how to go about that?
Well, there are tremendous challenges in the legal profession, and, you know, not everybody fits in with the standard mode of an attorney. And one of the challenges that I found is that a lot of the more established attorneys don't mentor you and don't teach you how to do what you need to do. So what I've always done is I do research on my own, and what I do is I follow people that I identify people that are doing what I want to do and that are where I want to be. And this is for life. This is not just for the law, but if you set your sights on somebody that's doing what you want to do on a high level. Like, for example, if you want to be a television talk show host, you set your sights on Oprah, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And study what she does. Study the public footprint of what she does. And mimic it, okay?
That's right.
Mimic it. That's
right.
What you do. And that's what you do in the legal profession, too.
From a distance.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
You can have mentor from a distance. Somebody can be your mentor without knowing it. You
Absolutely.
Just have to put the time. That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I have legal scholars that have mentored me, and they just don't know it.
That's right.
So.
I tell you, there's so much of me in you. I'm telling you. They don't got to know. If they put a book out, I'm buying it. If they put a tape out, they're speaking somewhere, and I can be at that conference, I'm going to be there.
That's right. That's
I'm
right.
going to be there.
That's right.
You
and if
got
you. That's right. That's right. Well, you know, when I was telling you about my background in Philadelphia, one of the things that I would do is, because I read all the time, I would make up a profile of people, you know, and that's the person that I would emulate. So I would read and take bits from Mary McLeod Bethune or whoever, Harriet Tubman, and I would make them into an image of something that I would seek after. So All of that was, you know that's what it takes in order to get yourself established. Is you have to have some kind of an example or some kind of a role model, you know, to go after, you know. And I think that in the legal profession, like for example, when I started out, I would research the case statutes and look up and see who was filing particular briefs. And then I would get a copy of their brief or their paper and read it. And that's how I figured out how to properly do a complaint and how to properly do what I needed to do when I started off, because I tried initially to get people to be willing to give me their information and to share. But really quickly, I came to realize that that wasn't going to happen. And so I had to figure it out.
It's a shame how selfish people are. And I think that when people begin to think that I am operating in my authenticity and my uniqueness, then they will not be this threatened to share what they're doing. Because by my sharing with you, it's not going to make me less proficient in what I'm doing.
That's
but
right.
Unless I am secure in my own skin, then I'm going to be threatened about another thriving attorney coming up.
That's right.
And taking up what I'm doing. But as I tell people, you know, a friend of mine a couple of days ago said that if I keep at the pace I'm going to be the next Oprah. I said, no, I'm not going to be the next Oprah. I'm just going to be Daphne.
That's right.
Because it's not that I don't admire or want to imitate Oprah, but I'm not looking to be her. I just want to be me that I can be and be a role model for others to follow.
That's right. And so if you look at what she does, sometimes you can look at it just for a point of refining yourself. You could watch and see something that she may do and use it as a point of refining you, you know.
That's right. She has paved the way for us, and she's a great role model for many, for years and decades to come to follow. But you don't have to go out there and do her, because if you do her, then you're going to be a failure. But if incorporate points and the nuggets that she has set forth for you,
that's right.
If you use that in your uniqueness, you know, you and that career is going to be a match made in heaven, because we are all created for a purpose
and
a calling. And we just don't need to get sidetracked. We just need to keep focused on what we are called to do.
That's right. That is right. That is right.
I want you to tell people how to get in touch with you, and we will continue in our conversation until the other guest comes on. And then I'm going to give you an open invitation that I'm going to have you back on to talk about all the other things that you do in your business. So I want you to take some time now to tell people your website and how they can get in touch with you. And just to highlight again the different services that you offer.
Okay. Well, my web address is www.ismybrandprotected.com. And I can also be reached at 877-374-3970. And my email address is info@ismybrandprotected.com. And I offer services in intellectual property, patents, copyrights, and trademarks. And I also represent nonprofit corporations, and my specialty in that area is corporate compliance, how to design your board, corporate governance, public disclosure, the actual rules that go with having a 501c3, and tax law. So I specialize in making sure that a nonprofit is in compliance. Those are my specialty areas.
Mm-hmm. So for those who are thinking of setting up a nonprofit, they consult with you before they do anything, or they come to you after they have it all set up?
Either way. I mean, what I am is I'm a rules person, and I make an assessment as to how you can make sure that you're following the rules. I think that a lot of times people will go to a consultant, and the consultant will set up a 501c3 and not advise them properly because there are responsibilities to that. For example, I do board member education to make sure and ensure that the board members are aware of how intense their responsibilities are. And also there are certain public disclosures that have to be done. And so, you know, I educate on that. So it depends on wherever you are in the process. I'm sure there's some room for improvement. And so I do an assessment to let you know what those areas are.
Okay. We have another 9 minutes with you before the other, hopefully the other guest calls in. He's supposed to be calling in at 11:30, my time. So I want us to use the remaining 9 minutes or more up until he calls in. And I would like for you to just summarize the highlights that you would like to leave the listeners with.
Okay. Well, in the area of brand protection, one of the highlights and one of the most important things that I want to leave the listeners with is to understand and value your intellectual property and look at it as property that needs to be protected. And the reason why it needs to be protected is because intellectual property lasts beyond your lifetime. So in the instance of a copyright lasts for 70 years past the creator's death. So that means that it has longevity. So the biggest point that I want to stress is that your copyrights, your books that you're writing, your website copies, your articles, those last a lifetime, beyond your lifetime, and those are things that need to be protected and safeguarded. It's not, you know, and they're also transferable, meaning that if you have copyrights that you own, you transfer them to your children, you transfer them to your heirs because they last beyond your lifetime. And that's just how important they are. And I find that a lot of times people don't recognize and don't appreciate how important that is. So your creativity is valued. It's very much valued. So that's the biggest nugget of information that I want to leave people with.
That is so wonderful because you are so right that a lot of us really don't know the value of what we have. And a lot of what you mentioned here this morning is our legacy, you know.
Absolutely.
And if we get the correct information at the beginning, we will go into these things with our eyes wide open. And we know the wealth of legacy that we have to leave for our heirs. And especially as a majority of black people, we don't look that far ahead, you know. I know some do, but the great majority don't. And I'm so thankful for people like yourself who are making sure that we understand what we have.
Absolutely.
And that we to know the value of what we have. Because a lot of times we have this creation and we go around and we're telling everybody else about it instead of doing what we got to do. And next thing you're sitting at home watching late night TV and you see that same thing that you told somebody about up there. And it's too late then because they already have total control over that.
That's right. I mean, I say that if you have a concept, if you have an idea, if you have a book inside of you, you know, it might be worth it to consult with an attorney just to see how you can protect it before you get it out there, because you can even just have a simple confidentiality agreement drawn up, and when you share your information with someone, you have them to sign a confidentiality agreement. And that would at least give you some layer of protection while you're in the planning stages. So I understand and I can appreciate that a lot of business owners or new entrepreneurs are talking about their ideas and their concepts because they're trying to get other people to buy in, you know, and I understand
right.
that. But in buying in, there's ways to protect yourself even at that stage. And a simple confidentiality
right.
agreement would go a long way. So, again, it's about education,
mm-hmm.
you know, and making sure that people are aware and are informed about what they can do. A confidentiality agreement is just a one-page document. That's all it is. And that would give you some protection.
Well, that's good to hear because I honestly, for as much as I like to seek out information, I was not privy to this piece that you just mentioned about that. Even in the casual conversation when you're sharing with people about what you're looking to do and those desires and dreams that you have, that you could have a confidentiality agreement draw up that knows
right.
that whatever you say there stays there.
That's right.
And I want to check with the people in the chat room to see if they have any questions for you before you go. The guests, the people in the chat room, I want to also welcome guest 7019. If you have any questions for Attorney Michelle Durant, you can either type it in the chat room or you can call in. The number is 646-915-8166. If you have any questions for her about intellectual property and all of that, you heard the conversation that we were having. So let me know if you have any questions. Type it in the chat room, or you may go ahead and call in 646-915-8166. And I'm now in conversation with attorney Ariel Michelle Durant, who is an intellectual property attorney, or as she has coined it, dreams on paper, is what your intellectual property. So for those of you who were confused before, confused no more, because any dreams that you have on paper is considered your intellectual property. So call up, show her some love before she goes, and ask any questions that you may have. Anything, remember there are no stupid questions, only the ones that have not been asked. So call up or type in the chat room. This number to call up is 646-915-8166. So let us know if you have any questions for her. Attorney Michelle Durant, is there any questions we're hoping that I would have asked you this morning that I didn't?
No, you were straight down center in terms of what I thought you were going to ask and what we needed to cover. I mean, I know we can't cover everything, you know, in the span of time that we had, but I think we kind of I hope that we did justice in disabusing the notion about that poor man's copyright. I think that's one of the things that, you know, I really wish people would stop advocating about that, because it does not protect you, you know, and all
yep.
it does is it causes extra expense down the road. And,
yep.
you know, that's something that I at least hope and pray that for our community that we stop thinking of that as an option, because that is a horrible option.
Exactly. I'm glad you say it here, because there's one too many people I hear mentioning that, and it's really not an option where I'm concerned.
That's right.
People are all looking for ways to beat the system, and before you know it, you will be spending money that you don't have to correct a mistake that you could have started off with. So I want to check to see if anybody have any questions here. Let me check with Mr. Computer Web Guy. He's still on the chat, and let me see. He's still online if he have a question here. Mr. Computer Guy, do you have any questions for the eloquent attorney? I guess he's off.
Okay,
so we are I'm waiting. I'm still here with Attorney Durant. I'm waiting on Mr. Johnson to call in so we can continue with our conversation, Attorney Michelle Durant, until Mr. Mitchell calls in. Because if you don't call in, then we can still talk with you, so long as your time allows.
Okay. Well, I wanted to give an opportunity to your listeners to take advantage of an offering that I have. I'm offering a free 15-minute consultation about brand protection or about nonprofit. So if you go to my website, you can take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. And tell them your website again, because some people just came in the chat room. And
okay. The website where you can go to get the free 15-minute consultation is www.ismybrandprotected.com. And I also have a live chat on there where if I am online, I can chat with you live. So if you have a quick question that you want to ask, you can ask it on my chat. If you go to the website, in about 20 seconds of the time that you step onto the site, a pop-up window will come up, and it will ask you if you have a question. And if if I'm online, then I will respond and answer the questions. Sometimes I'm not online, or sometimes my assistant may be online, but it's a way for you to get a quick question answered if you just want to ask me something basic. Again, the website is www.ismybrandprotected.com, and I can also be reached at telephone number 877-374-3970.
3970. Yes, so that you are listening to Attorney Auriel Mitchell Durant, who is an intellectual property attorney, and she's located out there in Arizona, one of my favorite places in the world. I've been to so many. I love Arizona. I love it out there. I've been to the Camelback Inn, and I just love that place. It's just so magnificent out there. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So we are waiting on Mr. Ricky Johnson, who is into marketing and advertising, to call in. So while we wait, we don't want to have dead air. So what would you like to talk about until we see him on the board?
Well, I think that, we can talk a little bit more. I mean, we can talk about, we kind of discussed trademarks. We can talk a little bit about what it takes to register a trademark. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Let's talk about what it takes to register a trademark.
Okay. What it takes to register a trademark is understanding what the classes of service are. So, for example, if I have a company and let's say that I'm an internet media company, I registered in that particular class, but then let's say that down the road I decide I want to have T-shirts with my trade name on it. That is a second class. And so what a lot of people, when they try to register a trademark on their own, a lot of people get stumped with the classes of service. So that's important for you to know. There's 47 different classes. So when you do your business plan, you have to have in mind how many different classes you're going to be in. That's why I said when you start a business, it's important to go into it with a business plan. And that way you don't have any extra costs that you didn't anticipate in your budget, and if you don't have a business plan, you don't have a budget. And that's why when things come up that you need to do, you don't have the money and you try to cut corners on it, like doing the poor man's copyright, because you didn't go into your business with a budget,
Yes. Attorney Durant, would you hold the line, please? We have a caller. Caller, you're on live. Your last four digits are 1092. Would you state your name, where you're calling from, and your question, please?
Good morning, Dr. Daphne. This is Ricky. I have no questions. I'm just listening.
Oh, good morning, Mr.
Good
Johnson.
Morning.
Okay, we were patiently waiting on you, And I'm going to tie up the eloquent attorney, and then we will be joining you. I also want to take this opportunity to introduce you both, because you are both in Arizona. So let's hope you'll be able to add some value to each other. Attorney Durant, meet Mr. Ricky Johnson.
Okay, absolutely. Nice to meet you, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning. And your name again? I didn't hear.
Aurelia Mitchell Durant.
Okay, that's a lot. Aurelia Mitchell Durant. Got it.
Yes. Okay. I'll be sure to do an introduction email between you both.
Okay, super. I'd appreciate that.
Okay, so Attorney Durant, let's just tie up here. You spoke about 47 different classes of trademarks. And when we come back, which I pray will be soon, that is where we will pick up our conversation.
Absolutely.
So I'll give you an opportunity to do a closing statement, and then I'll just go into Mr. Johnson. So please give your closing statement, and it was a privilege.
Oh,
for
absolutely.
Me to today.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, in closing, I'd just like to say that it's important to protect your dreams on paper and safeguard your dreams while protecting your brand. And if you need help or information on how to do that, you can go to my website, which is www.ismybrandprotected.com, or you can also call me at 877-374-3970. And I can give you some information and lead you and direct you and guide you on the proper way to go to protect your intellectual property.
Thank you, and I look forward to continuing this relationship and for building on it, and I will speak with you later on today on the phone.
All right. Thank you. Have a great balance
Thank
of the show.
God bless you. Have a great day.
All right.
Well, Mr. Johnson,
yes.
What an honor. No, you're not late.
Okay.
Would you please take this time to introduce yourself to the listeners? Tell them who you are and what you do, please.
Sure, my pleasure. Hello, all listeners. My name is Ricky Johnson. I am the owner of Denique's Marketing. I do marketing and promotional strategies with small business or online business operators. And I've been doing this for about 30 years, so I know a couple of things, and I try to help all businesses increase their assets or monetize assets that they already have.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. Now, as someone who has been in this business for 30 years, there is a thing or two that you have that entrepreneurs can really utilize to stay afloat in business. And what are some of the strategies and techniques that you have been using personally over these many years?
One of the and I don't know if it's a strategy as much as sometimes, when you're working for yourself, one thing you're definitely going to have to develop is a persistent attitude. Business is guaranteed to throw you curves. No plan you make is going to always go as you planned it. So what I watch a lot of people do, they'll get distracted by just the realities of the business, and then they cease to be in business, or they cease to do the things that work, and they go off on all these different paths trying to have a shortcut to getting to the successful outcome. So the key to it a lot of times is exactly knowing why you got in business, what do you want to accomplish out of that. Most people always say, I just want to make money or make a lot of money. And those are nothing but objectives, really. If your goal is to say, I want to have the best carpeting company, you know, in the city, in the state, in the country, world, then that's what you put in front of you, and then, you know, everything else becomes either tactics, or they become methods, or they just become ways to get to that goal. And so when a tactic or a method or a way does not work, you're okay because your goal is still right in front of you. But if you just said, I just want to make money, and you were not making money, then all of a sudden you will say, my goal must be wrong. I just won't be that great market. I won't be that great carpeting company. I'm going to go off and do landscaping because it looks like all the money is over in landscaping. So it's very important you know why you're involved in what you're doing, and then the rest of it mm-hmm. just helps you get there.
Right. And that's why it's important that when we get into a business, it is so connected to our purpose and calling in life. Because if we go in there thinking money, 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 the money is staying away from us, and so are the clients and customers. But when we go in there knowing that we want to transform the other person's life and to make them understand why they were created, it makes a big difference in life. It makes a big difference in life. As an entrepreneur for 30 plus years, I know there is something brilliant that you have discovered that each and every one of us needs to do. And it is something simple, and everybody would say, I never thought of that. What is this thing you have in place that you do each and every month that you think each entrepreneur needs to be doing?
They need to be capturing the information of the contacts they make so they can stay in contact. You
mm-hmm.
need to be always getting name, number, mailing address, contact information. Now, the
mm-hmm.
good thing about this is when you're getting that information, doesn't necessarily mean you're getting because you're trying to sell something to someone or you're trying to get them involved in something else. It can become just like now this call. You may get
mm-hmm.
a source or find out somebody doing something that may help you later or somebody you want to get with later. So you capture that information and you set it aside and you have it available. And what will happen is, over time, not overnight, not over a week, over a month, but over time, which means that comes out to years, you will have a very substantial list of contacts that you now can go back to and let them know what you are doing. Not necessarily trying to sell them, but just to update them. Here's where I'm at in business. Here's what I've discovered. Here's what's going on for me. You end up developing a relationship because now we're just doing regular conversation. And
mm-hmm.
as I share with people, no matter how gifted you think you are verbally or how many times you read or hear about the super salesman, the truth of the matter is people move when they're ready to move. Now, you may be that contact at the time they're ready to make a move, and then the people assume that you did something super, you know, you had this dynamic presentation or you had this great conversation. It's like, no, I just needed what you were talking about. And that need may have just been a word of encouragement. Right then, I needed a word of encouragement. And guess what? That was a transaction that I'll recall. So the next time I go to do something, hopefully I'll think about you. But I want to get the myth out there about being the super salesman or you have to come up with these, you know, you got to be this super dynamic individual. If you have enough mm-hmm. contacts, if you can, and again, you will have enough business to keep you going if you build your contacts and build them every day. So over the years, you have plenty of people to get back to.
As a small business or an entrepreneur, how often do you think we should be running promotions in our business?
I recommend that you have a special every day, every week. There's 52 weeks in a year. You should have
mm-hmm.
52 specials. And they
mm-hmm.
truly should be special, not your normal offers, not your, hey, I get 10% off or I do 2-for-1. I mean, put some thought in it, but
mm-hmm.
you want to make the value of the transaction so beneficial to me, I am
mm-hmm.
just compelled to want to move forward with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend think about it, and people really do have them. I talk to people, and they go, man, I couldn't think of that many. I can think about, I know, I'll just have a half-off sale. Well, that may work or not. We have to find out. But here's the good news. If you thought about your 52 specials and you can change them, you now are prepared for the entire year to get ready for your advertising campaign. You don't have to think about it every day or every week. What am I going to do this week? You already got that lined out. Now you have to just go and implement. I just got to go put it into work. And you will be able to be determined from the results. Don't get me wrong. In 1 week, you're not going to know if that particular special was the one. But it will give you some indicators of what else should I offer, maybe in a particular, maybe the specials I make go really great. And I need to build upon that one. See, these are going to be indicators for me. It's going to help me understand what is my market responding to. So get your 52 specials and get them together.
You mentioned a very important term just now. You mentioned about an advertising campaign. And one of the things that a lot of entrepreneurs will be saying, I don't have the budget for an advertising campaign. How can we tackle that head on?
It's not really complicated. Many times it's recommended to learn to use other people's resources or other people's money. This is where the 52 specials will tie into addressing if your money is limited, but you know you have a great product, a great service. You know you're probably the best in what you do. Somebody needs to know about it. Well, there are many ways to convey your message. So a lot of people are saying just the Internet, the Internet. The Internet is only one of many ways to reach a buying public. Matter of fact, you can miss a lot of people if you just think the Internet is your answer. So in your advertising campaign, you want to look at every means of communication. Now, if your money is just not there, you want to get familiar with the concept of joint venturing, of cooperative partnering. For example, let's say just take your local paper and look in that paper, and there's people advertising in that paper. You know, that's one thing a paper is never short of is ads. If you find a company that complements what you do, or you can complement what they do, you can contact that company and say, listen, what would it take for me to ride along on your ad to make a little entry? Let's go back to your carpeting company who said, I'm going to be the greatest carpeting company in my city. So now I'm a carpeting company, so I do carpeting. Maybe I can install the carpet, pull up carpet. I can do a bunch of things in the carpeting world. But who's affected by my carpeting? Well, people put furniture on it. People have carpeting can cause me to be concerned about the air quality of my home now because it's, you know, it's capturing dirt. So now filtration company or air conditioning companies use carpet. So let's just take those two. We could call up or look into the paper and see an air conditioning company that's advertising. We can look at a furniture company's advertising, call them up and say, hey, listen, I'm in this business. I tell you what I'll do. If you'll just put in there, Bob's Carpeting is the best. And my phone number, what would you charge me just to add that to what you're already spending? You're already spending this money on this ad. What would you charge me just to insert that? And here's the deal. I'll give your customers a 75% discount, or I'll be the first 10 of your customers for free. I'm just saying, see what there's many ways you can structure it. But I am now, let's say, does the first company say yes? Probably not. Maybe a smaller company who's also looking for new customers and also want to add additional services to their business. For example, let's say the furniture company would love to be in the carpeting business, but that's not their business. They're not going to change their business to do what you do. So you guys don't compete, you complement. You know, people buy furniture. Pardon me?
Right.
So I'm just saying, so that's just one. That's one thing I do. One thing anyone can do. This is to anybody. And there's hundreds of little businesses out there that's saying, how do we pull this off? Now, let's say, okay, you just ran out and there's no business. Then How about cooperative advertising? How about talking to four or five businesses at your local chamber of commerce or the online group you're in and the people right there in your city? And why don't you guys get together and say, let's find out what it costs to run an ad in this paper and let's split that cost. And we're all different, but here's what we'll do. Let's get a number that people can call. We'll run the ad, how to save money on your coffee for 75% or reduce it by $1,000 and get some furniture. And whoever else you work with, maybe it's a hairdresser, and get your hair done. And we have one number of people call, and they leave that information. So, you know what I'm saying? There's just hundreds of ways to go out there and get done what you need to get done.
Wonderful, wonderful. I tell you, we only have 10 minutes remaining in this segment, and I want to ask the people in the chat room if they have any questions for Mr. Ricky Johnson. The number to call is 646-915-8166. But, Mr. Johnson, I'm telling you, we'll have to have you back. Will you promise me that you'll come back?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I appreciate the invite.
Yes, we'll have to have you back and have you for a full segment because you're a genius. You have a lot of things. You are who Simon T. Bailey called releasing your brilliance. So you are doing that, and that will help us who we don't have the big budget to do a marketing or advertising campaign. You are showing us how we can do it steadily and consistently. So I want to just thank you for what you are doing for all of us to benefit from. I want to ask you to just take the remaining, take 5 minutes to just summarize what you want to leave the listeners with, you know,
okay,
that they can just begin with tomorrow. And also give your information how they can get in touch with you, please.
Sure, thank you. Just want to let you know that, you know, again, you know, your faith has to be bigger than your dreams. If you're going to be in business, especially if you're working for yourself or trying to work for yourself, it is not going to be a simple path you're going to be on. You are counting on yourself. You're relying on yourself to achieve the things you want in your life. You're not leaving it into the hands of somebody else, no matter if that's called a job or that's called a even a customer. You know, you're building your own world. So it's going to get interesting, but you want to do like you're doing right now. Seek out good information so that you can apply that in a daily fashion. You can definitely check out some of the services I offer at Juniques, JuniquesQues.ws. Where I put a lot of my information, you're welcome to go over, take a look at it. It's easy to get up, you know, contact me. My phone numbers are there, email address is there. So the key to this, and I want to thank Dr. Daphne for even having me on her show, is that folks, to the marketing and promotional strategies are just as important in building your business as getting the product or the service that you want to provide to the buying public. So you really want to keep your mind clear about that, because otherwise you can have the greatest service or product and nobody will ever know about it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. You know, in your 30-plus years, what are the three main things you see holding entrepreneurs back from really tapping into the business that is rightfully theirs? What are some of the hindrances?
The thing I see over especially the last couple of years, where a lot of activities started to happen for me, is that people let this thing fear get in their way. And a lot of times you hear the thing fear is false evidence appearing real. And I say that's not correct. Fear is fear. Fear is something holding me back. The thing I share with everybody is find out everything about what you are fearing, then determine how you want to respond, react, reduce, remove it. So that's key. Whatever it is, whatever this fear is, find out everything you can about that thing you fear, and you'll find it will release you and empower you, and you will start moving forward. But if you don't do that part of it, then, yes, you will let this – actually, maybe it's misinformation you have. Maybe somebody misrepresented it, and now you, a lot of us, I'm sure, have kicked ourselves when we find out something wasn't as difficult as we thought, but we didn't move forward because we thought, oh, man, this is too hard. So that's the key I'm finding with people is that they'll have something that's stopping them or slowing them down, but they don't investigate it. They don't find out everything they can about this, whatever this thing is. And then they can determine what they want to do with it. And guess what? If it is something that I'm really not ready to handle, I got that out the way. Because everything doesn't mean you're going to have a solution for it, doesn't mean you're going to be able to act on it. Sometimes we just got to pause. We just got to take that break, not stop, not give up, but just say, you know, this thing is big. This thing is bugging me, and right now I'm not going to deal with that today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the key to me, and I have to use it myself. Believe me, folks, I am definitely, I not only recommend this stuff, I have to use it myself.
Where do you get your strong belief from in all the things that you do?
Well, definitely, you know, the belief in the power greater than myself, that simple. I know all life didn't happen by accident. We're just, you know, it's not like all these energies running around us just showed up by themselves. So I know I'm not in it by myself, but I also make sure that I stay in touch with people of likeness to help me, you know. And when I say likeness, I mean in the sense of what I'm trying to do in the business world, for example. And I try to stay around very positive, forward-moving people. Those are the people I want to embrace, and I want them in my life. That's going to be key. That's very key, and sometimes we don't do that.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Mr. Johnson, I thank you for investing not only in my vision, but also into the vision and purpose of my viewers. I look forward to having you on the show again and to just commend you and the magnificent job that you're doing. Again,
thank
I thank you for being on the show, and I look forward to this continued relationship.
I do too. Look, you have a super fantastic day.
You too, my brother. Thank you, and
all
God
right.
bless you.
Okay.
Yes, that was Mr. Ricky Johnson, who is a marketing and advertising consultant out in Arizona, and he's doing a magnificent job. Just check him out there and just support the brother. He's doing a great job. And for those of you who joined me this morning, we ended up with four guests. What a blessing. What a blessing. So we just hope that you have gotten some nuggets from here that will help you. I want you to know that you were created for a destiny. Do not allow anyone to prevent you from living your dreams and your destiny. Stay blessed.
The plan you have for to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this lady. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this lady. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. You feel it in your spirit? Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. And I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah.